What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamar. Shams, how are you doing this Thursday evening?
I'm doing okay, but I'm not doing as good as Falk, who's just randomly just decided to lift the Blues offense onto his shoulders, somehow getting two goals on three shots. I read that before his second goal, he has already eclipsed his goal total of last year. So I guess, Parayko is done getting goals, and it's this year, it's going to be Falk. I'm curious who's going to be the offensive dynamo out of nowhere next year.
You know, Falk always has had some offensive talent, and I feel like the Blues deployment has been holding him back, but good for him. You also failed to mention Ethan Frank, who has two goals and an assist for Washington. Congrats to those of you who streamed him. Started off with the injuries and outjuries, we have the second food-related injury in a week. In addition to the Jack Hughes injury, Etu Luostarinen sustained burns doing a barbecuing incident and will be week-to-week going forward. Who's to benefit in Florida from this unfortunate accident?
One thing I just have to add to the injury, I saw in reporting, it's like, oh, it's fine, he didn't have to go to the hospital or stay overnight, but it's mentioned it all depends on how he reacts to putting on gear. So it just makes me just think of just like how gruesome this event had to be. And now the interesting thing is that the way the lines are set up, it's not like just one person in and out. The part that kind of interests me is that obviously you have the Lundell, Samoskevich, Marchand line, which is, you know, clearly a line one, but you may have heard me in the past talk about how I have no interest in Sam Bennett. But interestingly enough, he is now paired with Verhaeghe as a line mate, which maybe makes the line interesting because I'm not sure how you feel. Now, obviously, Reinhardt's Reinhardt, but I'm not too interested in, like, Rodriguez and Boqvist. I don't know what it is with these teams when they start, you know, if they don't have talent or they start getting injured, they decide to spread out their lines instead of stack them. So other than that top line, the rest are kind of just like, you know, take random stabs, but I'm not really sure what to make of it. Do you have any idea?
I don't really have any opinion on those lines. I think they're all kind of meh, so I'm not sure we're going to be getting much from Florida. I will mention we have Samoskevich in the cold streaks coming up soon. Maybe he'll pick it up in Luostarinen's absence with just more ice time to go around. Overall, though, just a guy. Hopefully he's back soon. You know, Florida's got tons of other injuries also. Some unfortunate defenseman injury news. It seems like Charlie McAvoy is expected to be okay for the Olympics, which means he may be out until February. That's kind of concerning. Also good for Hampus Lindholm, I guess, as the replacement. Additionally, Drew Doughty's out 2 to 3 weeks, and Victor Hedman is apparently weeks away still, and you've got Darren Radish filling in there. Additionally, I saw an hour or so ago that Alex Romanov is in a sling after taking a nasty hit last night, so he might be week to week too. What are you doing with these defensemen in an already thin position? Are there any immediate pickups you're looking for, or are we just hoping for the best?
So it depends on where you are on the pecking order of drafting D, either if you drafted them highly and you're happy, or if you kind of waited late like me. So I actually have the replacement of two of the three teams you mentioned. I have in Kickupful, I picked up Lindholm, and I have Darren Radish as well. So basically right now, those both are kind of like in interesting spots. The thing I like about both of them is they don't shoot a lot, but they do have at least like two shots a game for a good amount of time. And then at least Lindholm will provide blocks. And the interesting thing on top of talking about Hedman is that their decor, the Lightning, is just ravished. Is that Darren Radish, I kid you not, is with J.J. Moser as the top pair. He went from getting randomly scratched because they just had enough defensemen earlier in the year to being a top pair defenseman. So I'm always interested in defensemen that shoot and block and get a lot of ice time just because they're going to be around. So while they may not be interesting, Lindholm has Pasternak and Geeky, and then we know about the star power offensive talent that Radish has a chance to play with, even if Hagel's not on the top power play. He's going to be seeing him with his 20-plus minutes of ice time that, depending on where you are for D, if you're looking for, you know, your third or your fourth or random streamer, this is kind of guys that I'd be happy to have to just kind of, you know, they're not going to create points, but they're going to just fall into points, hopefully, because they're just on the ice with good players.
I think that's kind of the case. I don't think there's really a good replacement in LA since Doughty was kind of useless as it began. Lindholm got 2 assists last night on the power play. That looks pretty good. Boston seems to have found a way to score despite their questionable roster on paper. I think he's the most interesting to me. I've never been a huge Darren Radish fan, but again, if he's on the power play one, I guess you got to add him. But yeah, this is really tough for an already thin position because defense has been so rough this year. If you had one of these guys as one of, you know, 2 or 3 defensemen, you're probably in a world of hurt right now. Some more positive news. Connor Garland is back and playing on the second line in Vancouver. That line is currently being centered by David Kampf. And Brock Besser's on the other side. I suspect Filipino's going to sub in there once he's healthy. Garland is like a fringe relevant player, right? There's reason to consider adding him if he's available for some reason.
Yeah, it's like one of those guys is that like someone has to get points. Like it's random. But like the interesting thing is that while this team hasn't been great in getting wins, they seem to be getting a decent amount of goals now. You know, they're like, I forget what the percentage, I think they're like shooting at like a team wide, like 25% or something the last few games. So they're not going to be shooting at like the ridiculous rate recently. But the nice thing is with these kind of lines with different power plays, it's just kind of something to keep in mind that, you know, Besser's not a pushover. So he has an interesting line mate. And with them shuffling the lines, if he gets to be with Pettersson at any point, it could be something. It's not like a rush to add deeper leagues, someone to, you know, watch out for maybe not next week because of you can't stream anybody, but further weeks down the road, just kind of keep it your watch list and just kind of keep in mind because he has the potential, even if he's not going to be, you know, lighting it tomorrow.
For what it worth, Garland is 96% rostered in Cupful. Granted, a lot of those people probably just had him on their IR and now are making the decision whether or not to drop him or to activate him. So, ironically, he may be more available now that he's healthy than he was when he was hurt, just because we run so many IR slots in that league setup. There's a new goalie rotation on the horizon. Jesper Wallstedt has been playing lights out for Minnesota. He had a really long shutout streak. He's given up 5 goals in his last 4 starts, including facing a ton of shots last start. Goals saved above expected is well positive. Meanwhile, Filip Gustavsson has been pretty good also. He's had, you know, goals against average under 2 on most of his recent starts, that one bad game in there. But the coach has said that they're probably going to be a rotation going forward and they'll ride a guy as he's hot. But right now it's a rotation. This is unfortunate. Are either of these guys worth owning if it's a rotation?
I think this is just kind of like how you used to look at the old Islanders teams is that it's not good for points leagues like the Cupful, but if you're in a categories league, this is, you know, a boon for goalies there now that you have 2 roster ones that like will get you like great stats, good chance of a win for either of them to play and whatnot. It's just not going to get the guaranteed volume. Now, the interesting thing to keep in mind is that they did hint that they might ride one. So say if for some reason both get dropped in a points league, there is a chance for one to get, you know, 2 or 3 games in a row. Now, based on what he said, it's not going to be like, oh, he's taking over the net, you know, you're set. But that could be a nice boon just to have, you know, 3 starts out of 1 if both of them are just kind of sitting around. So something to keep an eye out for.
One thing I'll be keeping an eye out for is just the ability to predict which one's going to start a day early. Like if you know it's a solid rotation, you can add a guy a little bit ahead of time to get that goalie pickup without having to wait for a confirm. I suspect Wallstedt's going to be available on and off, so I'm going to be looking to do that. Next up, some more line combinations. Zachary Bolduc ended up line 1, power play 1, and it seems like he's got points today, doesn't he?
Well, it's kind of interesting. He has 1 assist and 5 hits. So it's kind of an interesting situation is that he is doing well, at least, or at least getting a point now. The interesting thing to keep in mind is that they are losing 5-3 to Washington. So the game is not going the greatest, but this is, I believe, the second game in a row that they're doing the split power play. I say split, but it is mostly a power play one, but oddly Suzuki's on both. And then Slafkovský got the demotion to the second line with Demidov and now has Bolduc is back with the top line. So the way the coach was speaking, he kind of insinuated how well Bolduc was playing early in the season where everyone was picking him up thinking that they had found gold. So while the team hasn't been doing so great today, it's not a guarantee, but I don't think this is going to be one of those things where they just throw out the lines and then go blunder and then give it up. So pay attention to game day tweets. That might happen, but I have a feeling that this is something they might kind of try to grease the wheels and keep as is. And then if it is, I'm always down to have a power play one line one guy on my roster, even if they're not producing right away.
The nice thing about Bolduc is that he hits a lot too. I considered him for the cold streak section when I was making it today because he did not have a point in his previous 9 games. He is averaging about 2 hits a game though, which is nice. Obviously he has the point tonight and the deployment is looking up. He's only 6% rostered in Kakupfel, which I think can also be owed to Montreal's not so great schedule for the past couple weeks. They are a team that plays very few off nights and they haven't had many 4-game weeks. So he'll be difficult to fit in your lineup, but I agree with you. I would be happy to add him to my roster starting next week if he's going to be getting line one, power play one deployment on the surprising powerhouse Montreal Canadiens this year. Another guy who is back in power play one, unsurprisingly, after getting scratched for a game, John Klingberg is back to power play one. Frustrating because I think Orlov is just better there, but that's what they signed John Klingberg for. He's going to get the power play 1 minutes. Anything else to take away from that?
Now, we say power play one, and he is back there. But the thing that me and probably anyone that has Toffoli in fantasy is not being a fan of is that they have Wennberg on the top power play instead of Toffoli, which is something that's kind of interesting to me, is that Toffoli is now off the top line. It's Kurashev, Celebrini and Smith is the first line, and then also off the top power play. And that's something that's kind of troubling, is that right now what kind of have to keep in mind is that the way I remember is that like Toffoli hasn't been doing much. Like he basically has like 2 or 3 shots and then maybe a hit the last few games, so hasn't been really that interesting. Obviously, where we know the team doesn't have depth. So if you're in the second line while like Eklund is fine, is that basically every line is getting caved in and the only chance to really get fantasy points on this team is to be with Celebrini. So now that Toffoli is neither with them on power play one or at even strength, that is kind of a scary thing. I don't have the guts to cut him right now because it feels like it's one of those situations where we saw Klingberg get scratched to get back to the top power play, but this is something where I'm kind of counting the days to decide what to do with Toffoli because I'm not sure he's worth it if he's not with Celebrini.
Toffoli is definitely approaching snoozer territory for me. Like you said, Wennberg's been on that power play one for a couple games now and has actually done some stuff with it, which is never a good sign for the guy that got replaced. I've seen Toffoli dropped in a few leagues. Only place I have him is a super deep dynasty, so I'm not considering that. But yeah, 96% Kakupfel rostered. I have to imagine that's going to start coming down, especially because the Sharks just played a bunch of 4-game weeks, which means they're due for some 3-game weeks coming up. They also have one of the worst playoff schedules, so teams that are looking ahead to holding on to guys who are having good playoff factors for them. I could see Toffoli starting to get dropped. I'm interested to hear what people think in the short shifts chat after we release this episode, whether or not Toffoli is a hold or a snoozer.
So the interesting thing is, and this is kind of where I'm kind of dancing with what to do, is that next week, like every other team, he has like no really interesting setup. But the week after, he has 3 off nights and 4, depending on how you see Sunday, because he plays Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So that is just kind of the interesting thing with me is that what I'm tempted to do in Kickoffle, which is a, you know, semi-deep league, is that, for example, I actually benched Toffoli today, just, and then I might be benching him one or two games next week, where in most cases, if I was going to be doing that, I would just cut the player. But I might use this week and next to kind of just see if he gets it back. And if it's like, I think it's been half a week already, he's been off the top line. So if we get to like the start of next week or like the end of next week and he's still not there, I think that's enough data to decide to cut. But if he gets it back on, say, like Thursday next week, then now I have a top line, top power play guy with four off nights. So it's one of those situations, depending on how much you need that roster spot, how much you need the win or whatnot, this is going to be a situation where I'm just going to kind of hold off because I can. And then if someone drops him, then just make sure to, you know, pay attention to game day tweets. And then the second, if he gets that spot back, you could be having found gold.
That's a very good point. I've been advocating to people in my allied chat and my DMs that next week is a great week to hold on to guys who might be something, because it doesn't matter what your schedule, what their schedule is. You're benching three skaters, maybe four, on both Wednesday and Friday. So there's not a lot of games to be gained by having good off nights next week, because there aren't any good off nights. It's a great week to hold on to a Toffoli or a Stamkos or someone else who's like, you need that extra boost to decide to cut them. And if they do nothing next week, maybe you decide to cut them. Looks like one last one. Beckett Seneca is apparently testing more advanced than the coach thought, which has led to a modified version of the load management plan that Leo Carlson was on last year. I didn't realize they did testing to decide this load management. I have to assume it has to do with recovery and VO2 max and, you know, cardio stuff. But I guess that's kind of interesting. Seneca's been fringe relevant. He's on power play one now. And Carlson's lack of games played last year was always frustrating. But if it sounds like Seneca's going to be in the lineup every night, maybe we want him.
So the interesting thing is that in the tweet, it was referencing a podcast interview. And he actually is, this is something I kind of never really hear too much in the NHL streets. I've heard it in the NFL, is that they actually have a sports science team. And that's how they kind of use to help define things. And that's kind of an interesting way. So way it is that this is kind of like the ideas you alluded to, is that like last year, Carlson would just like never play back-to-backs, would get randomly scratched that you would never know that even on like a 3-day week might turn into a 2-day week. But the interesting thing is that in this quote, when talking about Seneca, is that they used, he says, and I quote, it's hard to take him out of the lineup. So it just shows the value. He's playing power play one. It's place of Cutter Gauthier, which is kind of an interesting situation, just how well he's playing. So just kind of a something to keep in mind. Obviously, he's not the, you know, the sexiest guy of like, he's, you know, he's not a Kreider, he's not a Carlson, but he has been getting points lately. He is in a good position, you know. This might be a situation where, you know, pay attention to next week. You're probably not going to get any games out of him, but just kind of a keep tabs guy that he might be someone that turned into a interesting player on the bottom of your roster and then can take advantage of those off nights that the Ducks always seem to get every year.
With that, let's go to our ad break and we'll be right back.
The NBA season tips off, and so does DraftKings' newest fantasy game. DraftKings Pick 6 is the easiest way to play for big wins, with every possession giving you a shot at real money. Here's how to play. Just pick more or less on two or more stats and unlock the upside every game brings. Pick 6 is available in Texas, California, Missouri, and more. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. Don't just watch basketball. Cash in. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. PickSix not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable PickSix bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account, and you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n. Spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Next up, we've got a handful of hot cold players for you. First up on the hot side, Rasmus Anderson has 6 points in his last 3 games, 7 points in his last 5. He has 3 blocks per game over his last 4, and apparently he's getting power play one time. Maybe he was always getting power play one time, but the Flames power play one is kind of forgettable at times. Are you interested in adding him if he's available in your league? Note, he's 100% owned in Kakupful.
My favorite thing is, as I mentioned before, is that I'm kind of a bargain bin defensive person in fantasy. I usually don't spend too much capital in my leagues and just kind of find people. And my favorite thing is guys that shoot and block, just because, you know, you just kind of have readily available stats. Those are pretty replicative year over year or week to week. And that's something he does. And the interesting thing is that obviously the Flames are not the greatest, but they seem to be starting to actually at least score at a decent amount. So even if you're not going to be getting, you know, the 3 goals that he's had since like the middle of the month, maybe you're not bank on that. But when you have Coronado, Huberto, and Kadri playing better and actually getting points on their own, is that those assists that I see that he's getting, that's something that I feel like has a potential of actually sticking around. Even if he's not on power play one, just having hopefully a functional Flames team could just allow, you know, fantasy managers to be able to support multiple defensemen maybe out of this team. And then, you know, I'm thinking potentially Anderson or Uyghur, depending on how they do, is kind of be the guys you have, even though that, you know, we're getting it soon. It's Uyghur hasn't been the greatest.
Yeah, and that leads us right into our first cold streak. Mackenzie Uyghur has 0 points in his last 8. He's been pretty bad all season. The peripherals are there at least. You know, he's shooting, he's hitting, he's blocking. But is he entering snoozer drop territory? I say that jokingly because I looked at his advanced stats. He's shooting 0% on the year. His 5v5 on ice shooting percentage is 3.9%. His PDO is a lousy 90.8%. It's going to get better for Mackenzie Uyghur, but this is definitely not what people who drafted him in the 4th rounds like I did were expecting.
So the nice thing is, you mentioned before, he has all the banger stats. He's shooting, hitting, and blocking. So in your categories league, now obviously you probably spent a decent draft pick. You're not happy about him, but that floor is there. So I would be like, I'm not sure in what league situation, unless it's literally a points only league, I'd be considering cutting him. And this is just going to be the situation where we kind of mentioned it in the past. This is just one of those setups that, yep, he's not playing as you expected, but he's not bad enough to cut depending on most league setups because he has the banger stats. And then you just hope that, as you mentioned, that the bad luck turns to at least average and he, you know, falls into some points that he deserves.
Yeah, the points only leagues and probably the Yahoo standard leagues where plus minus is a category because he's minus 18 on the season, and hits are not a category in Yahoo standard. PIMs are, I believe. So stuff like that is where I'd consider cutting him. In Kakupful, he's actually holding on to like fringe non-streamer relevance. Somehow he's got 3.22 fantasy points per game played over his last 30, which is pretty impressive given that he's not scoring any goals or assists. You have to think that's only on his peripherals, and it will get better because those stats I mentioned earlier are so absurdly low, they can't stay there all year. One more flame before we stop talking about Calgary for the episode. Matt Coronato has been red hot lately. He has 5 points in his last five games, a ton of shots dating back about 8 games, including an 11-shot night a while back. I believe this started right after he got healthy scratched, so I think the message was received.
Yeah, and on top of it is that he's getting the deployment, too. He's actually, you know, I think there's like some random times he would be getting like, you know, 11 minutes, and it wouldn't even be on like the second line. He'd randomly be like on the third line and whatnot. And so right now he's he's playing with better players. He's performing more. This is kind of the people in my ally chat may not be a fan of me because I was like right when he was getting scratched, I was like, I'm done with him. I'm done with the Flames in general. And I'm, you know, not recommending anyone to add. Like, he was sitting on free agency. I forget when he got added in my league. I'm not sure if it was before or after that 11-shot game. So I'm not sure if when I had the chance, if I had it. But this is kind of the situation where I'm like, I'm not saying it's one-to-one, but this is kind of where I'm thinking about Toffoli, is that maybe I was a little too quick. I'm usually a cut bait and then add, you know, find new people, be fine with cutting the old people on your team. But this is kind of a situation that made me step back, is that like maybe we should be giving like a game or two, like the second you get the healthy scratch, maybe you not have to cut them right away. Because we kind of see it in this situation where even if they're not going to score at this rate, he has having like the last two games with his 3 shots is actually like the lowest shot total he's had in the past 2 weeks. He has like many 4, 6, 5 into that 11-shot game that, depending on your league stats, you're going to get value out of him, even if he's not pointing at this ridiculous rate, which only includes 2 power play points in this whole month. So even if the power play starts picking up, you might be getting more points there, even if the even strength starts tailing off. So this is a situation that could be a healthy, sustained, you know, winger that you were able to pick up off a free agency, because many people like me were thinking, oh, healthy scratch, crappy Flames, get rid of him, and then you got found gold.
On to another winger who's young and struggling a bit. We mentioned earlier Mackie Samuskevich. He doesn't have a point in his last 7. I have a bit less hope than I did for Coronato about him turning it around, because Samuskevich has some 0 and 1 shot games in there. He's only playing 13 to 14 minutes a night. He's on power play too. Is there any reason to think that Samuskevich will all of a sudden turn around from this cold streak?
I think this is kind of the situation where we're sitting with the Panthers. It's just like, until we start having some bigger names, like, I'm kind of like dubious to even like, you know, Marchand is somehow just like beating Father Time. And like, I don't know how he's doing it. And he's playing with him and still not performing. And like, at this point, I'm not sure, honestly, the way I look at it, you have to give me a reason to keep any Panther. Now, obviously, there's like a handful I've said, like Reinhardt and like Marchand, and then like maybe Lundell off the top of my head. Like, it's you're basically like counting on one hand on the guys you want to keep. So I'm probably fine with like cutting these other cold streak guys, unless you're in like, hell, even the deepest and deepest leagues. Like, I'd be more interested in like, you know, a Bowman that's like randomly getting, you know, power play one time, instead of trying to play the game of like, oh, maybe Samuskevich will turn it on with like Marchand and Lundell.
That's about how I feel. I mean, just there's so many better options, and Samuskevich is not in a position to pop off the way that some other players are. So yeah, that's about where I'm going to leave him. One more of each streak for you. Mattias Samuelsson on Buffalo is all of a sudden looking like their second best defenseman after Dahlin. He's got 4 points in his last 3 games. He's shooting occasionally. He's got a hit per game, 2 to 2.5 blocks per game. This isn't sustainable, right?
Well, the situation here is that I was eyeing him earlier. Now, obviously, the points, you know, that's going to be random and whatnot. But depending on your categories, leagues, or in situations where blocks are getting value in your league, this is something I like, because this guy is just getting like all the ice time. He's getting like over, it's almost like guaranteed he's getting more than 22 minutes of ice time. And he's getting like at least two blocks a game. He had a five block game. There's like three, there's like maybe a random one block game in there, but like he's getting blocks. And that's kind of the situation of just, he's a dependable defenseman. And now, you know, those situations that Buffalo has some offensive talent. So if he's able to, you know, survive the storm and then ship it out to, you know, Tage Thompson and he does something with it, you know, some assists can come. So really what it is that if you have a league that values those blocks, I'm fine keeping him around. But like, if you actually need him to shoot and score, then like, this is just going to be one of those mirages that you'll be dropping before you even realize that you added him, you know, 2 days ago.
I don't think he's anything special, even in that context. I'm just looking at the list of my Kakupful free agency shorted by blocks. And there's a bunch of guys here who I see basically the same way, you know, Jake McCabe, Simon Edvinson, Tyler Myers. You don't need Matias Samuelsson. Obviously, this is a great streaming week for him. Keep him around. But he's not someone you're going to keep on your roster. You're going to rotate him out for whoever's got the best schedule of, you know, the guys I've named and the other guys who block twice a game and can get you a handful of points because the offensive players on their team are good. Finally, we've got an interesting one to look at. Alexander Nikishin on Carolina looked really good to start the season and obviously is an immense talent as a young prospect, but he's got 0 points in his last five. Shane Gostisbehere is back. Jalen Chatfield is back. His time on ice has started to dwindle a bit, and Carolina just has a bunch of really good defensemen, not to mention Jacob Slavin hasn't played this year. Is Nikishin kind of done as far as getting enough ice time to be fantasy relevant here?
Yeah, this is the interesting one, is that I'm with you, is that I am kind of afraid of just like, as I mentioned before, is I am like, I know it's more complicated than just ice time, but he is not getting even 20 minutes of ice time. He's getting the third pairing on an injury-ravaged team. Like, this team, as you mentioned, not even just like Slavin, they're missing Chatfield, which is maybe not an interesting name to us, but it's an important player for their defensive core. And right now, he is the third pairing with Mike Riley, who, you know, I will never, like, I'm a fan of him, but like, obviously, he's not like a day-in, day-out NHL defenseman, and he's kind of be paired. So with Gostisbehere and Walker as a pair, and then Keandre Miller as a anchor of just like, you know, they spent so much money and capital to bring him in, those two pairings are going to be weathering the storm. So unless he has like power play time, he's not going to be in a place to get points. And he's not, to my understanding, he's not going to be anywhere close to the top power play. So despite being one of the situations, you know, Bouillon, he's kind of going in and out, maybe like a Rizal where we thought we had found money, but in the end, it looks like that, you know, rookie defenseman is not an easy position. And this is just another that, you know, goes to the wayside, but maybe keep on your waiver wire. And, you know, maybe if he comes up on the lines or something else, pick him up. But I'm not holding him on my roster hoping he turns it around. I'm keeping him on my watch list in case he turns it around.
You mentioned he's not even close to power play one. Recently, he hasn't even been on power play two. He has not seen power play time the last four games. And before that was, you know, 10 to 12% of his team's power play time. He's killing a lot of penalties, though. I do think the one place Nikishin is kind of interesting is your banger leagues. He's got 50 hits and 28 blocks in 20 games. He's taking close to two shots per game. So the peripherals are decent. Honestly, I don't think he's that different from Matias Samuelsson, to be honest. He's, you know, going to get you a bunch of peripherals. We'll jump in on the rush when he can. You know, he's got the offensive talent and he's got good players around him. But yeah, neither of these guys I am holding past their Sunday game this week. With that, that's all we've got time for. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of that place. It includes team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stature. Intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.